الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنحمد الله أن جمعنا في هذا المسجد. We praise Allah, we thank Allah that He gathered us in this masjid لكي نذكر بعضنا بعضا. That we remind each other. فذكر فإن الذكر تنفع المؤمنين. So remind, for indeed the remembrance aids the believers. So this is a reminder for myself, to myself, first and foremost, and that is a reminder with regards knowledge and the reasons for gaining knowledge, and that is for practice and the virtues of the people of knowledge, na'am, and the dispraise of those who imitate or try to imitate them deceivingly, and also dispraise for those who do not act according to their knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned knowledge in the Quran, He mentioned it in two folds, either praised or dispraised. The verses regarding where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned knowledge, where He praised knowledge, are many. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, Rabbi zidni ilma, to seek increase in knowledge. And that is the knowledge of the Sharia, of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the understanding of the companions. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he defined knowledge, he said, Al-ilmu, qala Allahu, qala Rasuluhu, qala Sahabatu, laysa bitamwihi. Knowledge is what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions conveyed without doubt. Laysa bitamwihi, without doubt. Mal ilmuka nasbaka ما العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة ليس بالتمويه ما العلم نصبك لخلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين رأي فلان أو فقيه. He said it's foolishness to compare the statements of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with the statement of anyone else. It's foolishness to compare the statement of Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم is to be taken unconditionally, and everybody else's statement is conditional, whether it is haqq or otherwise. So the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever he says, is from Allah. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Whatever he says from the revelation, يعني of the deen, then it is from Allah. He does not speak of his own accord, rather it is revelation that is revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the status of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the best of the messengers. He raised him and He honored him, and He honored him with this deen, and He completed this faith. أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Completed his faith and this favor that He has bestowed upon us. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him many levels, and he was the best of the worshippers and the best of those who sought knowledge and practiced it. For he used to read the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Na'am, in the month of Ramadan, completing the whole Quran once, and the Quran was revealed in stages, progressively throughout the 23 years of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. So all of it was revealed on Laylatul Qadr, na'am, and given to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam progressively throughout those, as Sheikh Saleh bin Fawzan al-Fawzan mentions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that beneficial knowledge and practice And true knowledge, as Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah said, is knowledge of the heart. Because two types of knowledge, knowledge of the heart and knowledge of the tongue. As for knowledge of the heart, that's knowledge which benefits. It's khushu', where the person benefits from his knowledge. And as for knowledge of the tongue, it's just data. You may find some people, they can narrate and they can memorize and they can quote. But when it comes to practice, they fall short. When it comes to fear of Allah and humility, they fall short. So they have not sought knowledge for the sake of Allah. For knowledge that is sought for the sake of Allah is knowledge that benefits. Yes, we all fall short. But the intention must be there to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah. And that even when we fall short, then we turn quickly to Tawbah. We turn quickly to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our... to pardon us and to overlook our errors. So that is knowledge that benefits. The knowledge where the person benefits from his khushu', where there is khushu' in his heart, where there is khushu' in his limbs. Because the scholars, they explain the difference between fear and humility. They said that khawf is khawf from the actions of the heart. But khushu' is where the person not only is it an action of the heart, but the person benefits also from his limbs. His limbs have khushu', his limbs are humbled. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are successful, those who are humble in their prayer. And when this verse was revealed, if you look at Tafsir ibn Kathir, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, prior to this verse, they used to look up. When this verse was revealed, they lowered their heads, or they lowered their eye, their gaze, showing you that khushu' affects the limbs. Affects the limbs. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would benefit directly from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you would see the effects inwardly. You would see the effects inwardly from what they said, and the effects outwardly for what they said. Because Irbad radiallahu anhu, he said, وَعَظَنَا رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَوْعِظَةٍ بَلِيغَةٍ وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَفَاضَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us an exhortation whereby it softened our hearts and our eyes flowed with tears. So showing you that the effects of the da'wah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the knowledge that he called to, had an effect inwardly and outwardly to the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. Inwardly, تَسْكِيَةُ النُّفُوسِ, purifying the souls from the ills and the diseases of the heart, from jealousy, from malice, from before all of that shirk and bid'ah and all of those evil actions. They hated that with their heart and loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than loved everyone, loved the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than loved anyone else, and they acted according to their knowledge. For it wasn't just actions of the heart, they followed it up with actions of the limbs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you don't do? O you who believe, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, whenever we would hear, O you who believe, we would listen attentively, for either we would be commanded with good or forbidden from evil. And here, that just shows us the state of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were ready to act. They were ready to keep away from haram. They were ready to fulfill the commandments of Allah. They were ready. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, they would listen carefully. This is how the believers should be. Knowledge is not just for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge is for action. That is the knowledge that benefits. And this verse is a serious verse. Why do you say that which you don't do? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is severe in the sight of Allah that you say that which you don't do. That you say that which you don't do. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek refuge from knowledge that doesn't benefit. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ. Oh Allah, I seek refuge from knowledge that doesn't benefit. وَقَلْبٍ لَا يَخْشَعُ. And a heart that doesn't, that is not humbled. وَنَفْسٍ لَا تَشْبَعُ. And from a soul that is never satisfied. greedy, always greedy, always want more, never satisfied. وَمِن دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ. And in another wording that was asked a week ago by one brother, وَمِن دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْمَعُ, I said to him, what is the meaning of this? Is not a da'wah that is not heard, because Allah is all hearing, He hears everything. But what is meant is that is not answered. And this hadith is a proof of that. This other wording of the hadith explains the other wording. And that is, وَمِن دَعْوَةٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ, from a supplication that is not answered. We seek refuge from that. And the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, in his Sahih, Muslim in his Sahih. So really and truly, the one who sees happiness, the one who's upon happiness and salvation in this life and in the hereafter, is the one who strives for knowledge, for practice. He strives to learn the deen of Allah, to practice. So he learns about Allah's names and attributes, for example. He learns Tawheed, first and foremost. He learns that which is required of him, Tawheed al-Ibadah, in worshipping Allah, na'am, with the tongue, with the heart, and with the limbs. Knowing Tawheed in the three categories, Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, and Asma'us Sifat. And he learns them, and it's a lifetime for him. Not like those who say you can learn Tawheed in 10 minutes. That shows you how weak your Tawheed is. Tawheed is ikhlas in ibadah. Maintaining Allah's oneness in His worship, showing ikhlas. How are you going to learn that in 10 minutes? How are you going to learn that in 10 minutes? From Tawheed is to know Allah's name, beautiful names and lofty attributes. And not just to know them, but to practice what they entail. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know that He's Ar-Rahman, is merciful and is Rahim, beneficent, then to practice that, what does it entail? It entails that you are merciful. When you know that Allah is Al-Latif, Allah is Khabir, Allah is Latif, He is gentle and He knows the details of everything that happens. When you know about that, then you're gentle with others. And you're overlooking of faults. Looking more at your faults than others. Except those faults that are apparent, which are not hidden, and not between the person and Allah, but rather they are called towards, like bid'ah, for example, and disobedience and sins, that the people openly call towards. Then obviously, from righteousness is to refute them. And from righteousness is to warn against evil, so that that doesn't spread. And mercy for the person who's spreading it, such that he is not followed in more evil or in more wrong. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, وَالنَّاسُ فِي الْعِلْمِ طَبَقَاتٍ. The people regarding knowledge are of different levels. مَوْقِعُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ بِقَدِّ دَرَجَاتِهِمْ فِي الْعِلْمِ بِهِ. Their status with regards knowledge is their level that they have given knowledge, or they are upon knowledge of seeking knowledge. Rahimakallah. Fahaq, he says here, fahaqun ala talabatil ilm bulughu ghayati juhdihim fil istikthari min ilmihi was sabr ala kulli aradin duna talabi. So it is a right upon every student of knowledge to strive their utmost in increasing in knowledge and to be patient upon the obstacles that may befall him while he is on that path of knowledge. He treads the path of knowledge, he knows that's the path of paradise. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. He knows that is the path of paradise, and Allah will make it easy for him. So he treads that path. And he's upon عَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ, in learning knowledge. From the greatest of ibadah is طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ. And the scholars used to see learning in the night is better than worshipping in the night, because it's the best form of worship, learning the deen of Allah and defending the deen of Allah and gaining that knowledge which will repel doubts, because shaitan comes from two ways, doubts and desires. Doubts to try to put shubuhat upon you, and you repel that with ilm. And desires to try to make you fall into sins, and you repel that with taqwa, with piety. So gaining knowledge is from the best forms of ibadah. Best forms of ibadah. And so the person will go through obstacles. Wealth will be given to him. Status will be given to him. Dunya will be provided to him to keep him away from knowledge. And those who stay firm, stay firm. And those who stray, stray. You choose which path you want. And you choose which path you want to end up in. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ And we have guided them to the two paths. Either one you want, you will be given that chance and the ability to do it. Whichever chance. And there's no easy way for ilm. And for talab al-ilm. There's no easy way. There's no easy path. It's not 6 months. It's not 1 year. It's not 2 years. It's not 5 years. It's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. And the more you increase, the more it should be apparent in your actions. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah continued in his Risala, page 19. He continued and he said, "Wa ikhlas an-niyyah lillah," and being sincere in your intention while you're seeking knowledge, being sincere, fi istidraki ilmi, in gaining that knowledge. And that's the hardest. Because shaitan will come to you and try to puff you up, try to raise you, try to make you that which you are not. Make you that which you are not. And make you feel self-sufficient. The Messenger said, وَلَا تَكِنِ لِنَفْسِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ And don't leave me to myself the blink of an eye. But shaitan will come to you. And he will come to you to make you think that you've made it. And you've reached that level, you give fatawa, you've reached that level where where the people are looking towards you. And you start now seeking the people rather than knowledge. And rather than knowledge for the sake of Allah, it becomes knowledge for the sake of the people. Knowledge for the dazzling gatherings. Knowledge for the numbers. Knowledge for dunya, knowledge for wealth. And you start charging for your classes. And you start charging. And you start using and manipulating your position in gaining from others, gaining more than giving. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the case of the diseased heart, the one who learns for the people. And wallahi, thumma wallahi, when we've met the ulama, we never see this with them. The likes of Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna rahimahullah in Jeddah back in the days in 95, we never seen him throughout those years. We'd never seen him manipulate or seek position or seek authority. Rather, he disconnected his ties from those who disconnected themselves from ilm and from amal. From those who disconnected themselves from being upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim. He disconnected his ties from them and he advised them. When Safwat Nuruddin, Allah irhamu wa yaghfir lahu, when he came to Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna rahimahullah in Mecca, gate 94, and Safwat Nuruddin was with Ansar al-Sunnah in Egypt. And this is in the early days, Ansar al-Sunnah was okay, was good, with the likes of Sheikh Hamid Faqih, and the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Khalil Harras, Allah arhamhum, and the likes of Abdul Razzaq al-Afifi, Allah arhamhum. But afterwards, came a people who took the Ansar al-Sunnah away from the original call. And they started praising Sayyid Qutb and praising his da'wah, praising him and so on and so forth. And they became followers of Ikhwan al-Muslimin. And Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna rahimullah advised him when he came to see him. He says, Taqillah. This is the alim and the way of the ulama. Advising those who they were close to in the past. And they disconnected themselves because they saw what they have strayed in. And he said to him, Ittaqillah, fear Allah. and take what your errors back regarding your praise for Sayyid Qutb. Subhanallah, you know what happened? That was the advice of Sheikh Muhammad on that day. The next day we were praying janazah over Safwat Nuruddin. He passed away. Death reached him. Allahu A'lam if he made that tawbah. Allahu A'lam if he returned. But ya Abdullah, that's the reality. The next day he died. And we're praying janazah in the haram over who? Over Safwat Nuruddin. Rahimahullah, Allah yaghfir lahu. That's the reality. We're all going to reach that point. We're going to go back to Allah wa anna maraddana ila Allah. So what was the purpose of knowledge then? And what was the purpose of your love and hate? What was the purpose of your love with your brothers? For those who've been in da'wah to Salafiyyah in this country over 25 years, when the affairs were difficult, the numbers were not there, very few, and there were obstacles on the path. But by Allah, holding on to the ulama and seeking their advice, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been the greatest help, seeking their advice and being with Ahlul Ilm and not rushing when the affairs become difficult and when the affairs need time to think and time to slow down and time to wait, not rushing, because the hastiness is from shaitan. Al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Ash-shaytan, if you look at the flames, is created from smokeless fire. Smokeless fire has what? Tish. It's all over the place. As Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, when they discussed, when Iblis said, ana khayrun minhu, I'm better than him. Ibn al-Qayyim said this, Ibn al-Jawzi said, sorry, that he's wrong in this claim. Because clay, which we were created from, Adam, alayhi salam, created from clay, is better than smokeless fire, because clay is calm, but fire is not calm. It's all over the place. Tish. And shaitan is from that madda, from hastiness, from rushing, from being quick, from preceding the ulama, from wanting to spread news before Ahlul Ilm spread it. Especially nowadays with this Twitter and with this WhatsApp and all of these social media outlets. People rush to spread news before ascertaining whether it's authentic or not authentic, whether it's true or not true. People are rushing. But Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi always says, he says, wallahi, we do not know how to use all of these gadgets. If we wanted to, by Allah, we could compete with you and be better than you in it. But we don't have a need for it. We don't have a need for all this. Our benefit is, inshallah, to benefit in our deen and to busy ourselves in our deen. Yes, use it in that which was good and that which will bring about good. But don't let it occupy you and make it a reason for you to rush and spread falsehood and rush and spread that which will harm you later. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah continued and he said فَحَقٌ عَلَى طَلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ بُلُغْ غَايَةَ جُهُودِهِمْ فِي اسْتِكْثَارِ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ وَالصَّبْرِ عَلَى كُلِّ عَارَضٍ دُونَ طَلَبِهِ وَإِخْلَاصِ النِّيَّةِ لِلَّهِ, having sincerity and striving for the sake of Allah فِي اسْتِدْرَاكِ عِلْمِهِ نَصًّا وَاسْتِنْبَاطًا, not just knowing the actual texts, knowing the ahadith. Because the talib al-ilm is he who loves the Qur'an. He loves the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not just the nas he loves. He loves the istimbat, the proofs that they give, the meanings, the benefit that you get from the narrations. وَالرَّغْبَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْعَوْنِ عَلَيْهِ, and always seeking help from Allah. Yes. In helping him to benefit. Without the help of Allah, you will not be in the situation you're in. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you and yani to up to now that you're Muslim, that you're upon Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mah. But are you going to be saved tomorrow? Are you going to be in a good state tomorrow? Next year? Or at the point of death? حدثنا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو صادق المصدوق، إن أحدكم ليجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة، ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك، ثم يكون نطفة مثل ذلك، ثم يرسل إليه ملك فينفخ فيه الروح ويؤمر بكتب 4 كلمات، بكتب رزقه وعمله وأجله وشقي أو سعيد. شوف، شقي أو سعيد. الله سبحانه وتعالى sends the angel to blow the ruh in the womb, in that fetus, and for you to be in the end, which of you, when are you going to die? Your ajal, your lifespan, your actions, your risk, whether you're going to be happy or sad at the point of death. So yes, now alhamdulillah, you can say alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to sirat al-mustaqim. But what about tomorrow? A Muslim may wake up, he may sleep, a believer, he may wake up upon disbelief. In the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي وقال كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل. The Prophet took hold of my shoulder and said, be in the dunya as if you are a stranger or a traveler. Be in this dunya as if you are a stranger or a traveler. Traveler doesn't seek this life as if it is the life. And a stranger moves on from place to place. This is Darul Mamar. And tomorrow is Darul Qarar. So he said, he took hold of my shoulder to show you, look, he wants his attention. Took hold of my shoulder. And he said, be in this life as if you are a stranger or a traveler. And then Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma added, and he said, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. If you wake up in the morning, don't expect to reach the evening. And if you reach the evening, don't expect to reach the morning. This is the reality of the طالب العلم, who is sincere. This is the reality of the عالم, who is fearful and fears Allah the most. And we've seen that in the practice of our Ahlul Ilm. The likes of Shaykh Rabi Hafidhullah, for example. All his life calling to Tawheed and Sunnah. And defending the deen of Allah. Refuting innovations and their heads. Clarifying that. And also in his life, gentleness and kindness with his students. Defending the students of knowledge. Aiding them, helping them with his wealth and his self. And his time. We've seen that. And his kindness in feeding others that come to his house, making sure they don't leave. How many times you would say, don't leave until you've eaten. Don't leave. And it's probably about 10, 11 o'clock in the night. And he's there making a sufra with food on it for his guests. Especially visitors who come and visit. Mercy with the people. Kindness. Gentleness. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Salam. He said, the first thing I saw with the Messenger of Allah, the first thing he advised me with, and he said, I saw the Messenger of Allah's face, and he knew it wasn't the face of somebody who lies or doesn't tell the truth. And he became Muslim just by looking at his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, the Messenger of Allah advised me with 3. And he was a Jewish man who became Muslim. He said, advise me with 3. أطعم الطعام وأفشوا السلام أفشوا السلام وأطعموا الطعام وصلوا بالليل والناس النيام. Beautiful advice. Feed the people. Feed others. Invite them to your house and feed them. Whether they're your neighbors, Muslims or non-Muslims. Feed them. Advise them. Guide them to that which is khair. Give salam to each other. أفشوا السلام. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give each other peace and security. Security and tranquility and safety. And pray in the night while the people are asleep. How is your heart? That's the big question we all ask ourselves. How is the state of our hearts? Is it a heart that is attentive? A heart that is softened when the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Isn't it time for the believers that their hearts tremble when they remember when the remembrance of Allah is mentioned, when the Quran is recited,
their hearts are softened. How is the state of our hearts? Because this is the reality we have to ask each and every one of us, those who are seeking knowledge. How is the state of our hearts? Why are we doing what we are doing? Imam al-Shah, and do we ask Allah for his help? Because without the help of Allah, we're not able to do anything. Look at Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri, hafidhahullah. 6 years, alhamdulillah, Allah, as soon as I landed in Medina in 1424, 14 years ago, after being in Jeddah, Medina is the place to be. Al-Madina tu khayru lahum, law kanu ya'lamun. Alhamdulillah, looking for a house. Found that place right next to Shaykh Ubayd, hafidhahullah. Prior to that, we used to call him, ask him questions. But subhanallah, the best years of my life, to be next to this alim, waking me up at Fajr every morning for 6 years, calling me 15 minutes before the salah. Every day, I never know one day he missed Fajr in Jama'ah. Calling and then saying, be at the house at 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And one time he called, it was like tahajjud time, must have been an hour before the salah. And he called and he said, I'm sorry. it's still early. And he did that only once in 6 years. Subhanallah. But abid, a worshipper of Allah, knowledge you can see apparent in his actions. He loved to pray Masjid Quba, and every time he said the same joke. He said, Umrah without shortening the hair and without cutting the hair. Every time, and we would always laugh at the same joke. Umrah without shortening the hair, because Umrah, whoever prays Hadith Sunan Majah, man tatahara fi baytihi, whoever purifies himself in the house, yani wudu, ablution, thumma salla salatan fi masjid Quba falahu ajr Umrah, and then he prays a prayer, whether it's fard, nawa, sunnah, a prayer, any prayer, then he has the ajr of Umrah, whether it's 2 rak'ahs or 4 rak'ahs or 3 rak'ahs, whether it's the fard prayer or the sunnah prayer. And as for the messengers, I said, yes, he would go out on a Saturday and pray 2 rak'ahs. That's his sunnah, Masjid Quba, he would do that. But the other narration in Sunan al-Majah is general. So any prayer. And he would always say, Umrah bidun taqsir wa bidun halq. And we'd come back. And he'd be happy with that ibadah. And other times go to Masjid al-Nabawi. And he would be happy with that ibadah. Loving to do ibadah. And wanting to do more according to his ability. And he did not cease to study the deen of Allah until he got a master's in tafsir, even though he cannot see. And this is not the hearts that are blind. It's not the eyes that are blind, it's the hearts that are blind. إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. You may see a person who's blind in his heart, blind in his eyes, but the reality is if Allah has given them knowledge, then they're not blind. The reality is they can see more than you can see. And how many times we heard the Hizbiyun, the partisan groups, they used to criticize Ahlul Ilm. In Morocco there was a Takfiri, his name was Fizazi, more than 20 years ago. And we didn't know who he was. And he said in a gathering, he said, how can the ulama, how can Sheikh Albani rahimullah give fatwa that there's no jihad in Algeria? How can he do that? He's far away from Algeria. He doesn't know the reality. He's far away. How can he give fatwa? The people in the country know more about their country. Subhanallah. And then he said, how can Sheikh bin Baz, rahimullah, and criticizing Sheikh bin Baz. So I spoke up in the gathering. And I said, who said from the scholars what you are saying? Because you're not a scholar. And there was a majlis like this. And I spoke out. I don't know, they could have beaten me up afterwards in that, but I had to defend the ulama. Said, who said what you're saying? This is in Morocco, in Tanja. Who said what you're saying? From the scholars of Ahl Sunnah. Because you're criticizing Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimullah. You're criticizing Sheikh Albani, rahimullah. Man yaqul mithla ma taqul. Because in those days, we had weapons. And those weapons were what we heard from ulama. The manhaj. You can't bring something new. You have to be preceded with the people of knowledge, those who revive the Manhaj al-Anbiya. So, who said what you say? I don't even know you. Who are you? Majhul. But you seem to be seem to have authority in this little community, but and have audacity to speak about ulama like this. Who says what you say? It's like I put a bucket of water over his head. Because afterwards, he was like, they said, oh no, no, he's new. And then he said, no. He wanted to argue. He said, no, I will tell him who said it. I'm waiting. So he says, Safar al-Hawali and Salman al-Awda. I knew that time. Min thamarihim ta'rifunahum. From their fruits you shall know them. So these are your teachers then. Salman al-Awda has a book, Hakada Alamul Anbiya. And in that book he says there are two types of shirk. Modern shirk, primitive shirk. Modern shirk, shirk of rulers. Not ruled by Allah's law. Primitive shirk, shirk of people calling upon other than Allah. Shirk of calling upon the dead. Shirk of going to the graves and calling upon the dead. Relying upon other than Allah. Wearing talis, this is primitive shirk. As if it doesn't exist today. A categorization which none of the scholars preceded him. These are your fruits. These are your leaders that you follow. These are your scholars. Look at Salman al-Awda now. With everyone and anyone. That's the end result of those who are not rasikhuna fil ilm. That's the end result. And the other one, Safar al-Hawali, he praised Sayyid Qutb, say Shaheed Sayyid Qutb. Ahlul Sunnah, first of all, don't say Fulan Shaheed. They don't say Fulan Shaheed. We say, we hope that he has Shahada. We hope he is a martyr, whoever dies in a good state. But as for Sayyid Qutb, we know that what he wrote. We know what he left behind. In his writings, he dispraised Musa alayhi salam. He dispraised Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma. He dispraised Amr ibn As radiallahu and said they used deception and for political gains and lies for political gains. A'udhu billah, this is how you speak about Sahaba. And how you speak about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, saying that he's a man with fiery nature. Rajulun asabiyul mizaj, he said. How you say that about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? How you say that about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Kalimullah. You say that he's rajulun asabiyul mizaj. And you compare him to Ibrahim, say, look, Ibrahim was this and Musa was fiery. Don't speak about the Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the Anbiya and the Sahaba. Many levels. The best of the people. The best of the children of Adam, the Anbiya and those that follow them. And you speak about them like this. So this individual praising the people of Batil. And you know what he's now? He left Takfir. Now he's Ikhwani. And that's the reality of many of the Takfiris. Many of the Takfiris. And many of the people of Batil, they're not firm upon what they are upon. As for the ulama, did they change? Did Sheikh Rabi' Hafidah change in all these years? Did Sheikh Ubay change in all these years? Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. In all their lives they called to Tawheed and Sunnah. And they clarified. And what was the reality of Algeria anyway? When they went out against the ruler, what happened in the end? Over a million people got killed. Did they benefit? No, they didn't. So who was right? Who was right? Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, all these individuals, these hasty ones. Who was right? The ulama, Allah raised many levels. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَاتٍ. Many levels, Allah raised them. And Allah raised them for they uphold Tawheed. Sincerity, inwardly and outwardly, is professed in their da'wah, in their actions. You see that in their actions. Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna, rahimullah, would cry. Say, why are you crying, ya Sheikh? He said, I do not know if I'm going Jannah or Nar. In his age, and he was fasting Mondays and Thursdays every week. He was fasting 3 days of the month, every month. As long with Monday and Thursdays. I never seen anyone who's sawam like him. I never seen anyone, Allahumma barik, who was reading Quran like him. Every Friday he's finishing Quran. I never seen anyone in his ibadah like him. Always in the first row. In his 80s. In his 90s. I never seen anyone like him, rahimahullah. in his ibadah, in his kindness, in his welcoming. Subhanallah, so much mercy with the people, with his family, with his with kindness, with those who know and those who didn't know. When I first came to Jeddah, he said, "I'll give you some money to buy a car." So kind with his wealth. Because I asked him about taqsit, and they said, "Don't get taqsit. Don't buy a car with taqsit on higher purchase." Because he said, "Look, if you have the money, buy it. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Just move according to your ability." So the first car I bought was like a miskeen car, because I didn't have the ability. So I followed his fatwa, followed his advice. And a miskeen car, to the extent that one time a police officer stopped me once. And he stopped me. And he said, when he saw the iqama, he said, "Britan," he said, "Britan, you got a car like this?" Subhanallah. But yeah, and you have to take the advice of the ulama. Take the advice of the ulama and move according to your means. Move according to your means. So even the police officers were shocked. But alhamdulillah, go with what you are able to do. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ خَيْرٌ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِهِ. Wallahi, that's so true. That no good you will reach or will reach you except by his help. Except by his help. The ulama, Allah aided them to reach that level. Allah aided them, you see, in their lives. Sheikh Ubayd Hafidhullah, in how he was with his family. In the morning after Fajr, he would go to the Baqala, and you can see the marks of the bag, and I'm trying to take the bags off his hands, full of groceries, trying to take it off his hands. "Ya Sheikh, I will take it. I will take it." He says, "No." He's loving to serve his family. SubhanAllah. And he would take it home. Hafidhullah. And wallahi, if there's one thing you learn from Ahlul Ilm, is tawadu', their humility. Their love for ilm, and their humility. They're not arrogant about it. They're humble, but they're firm. Even in the fitna of Hajuri, in that fitna, Sheikh Ubay didn't move once. He was firm. He was firm. He didn't budge. He didn't harm him. All the slanders and all the lies that were being spread about him, he didn't, it just like it repelled, came and just bounced off. Huh? But he stood firm. And in that time, alhamdulillah, the ulama, they said what they said. Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah said, "Sheikh Ubayd Imam fi hadha al-asr." This is the reality. He learned from Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, rahimahullah, Jabal fi al-ilm, Sheikh al-Shuyukh, Sheikh Hamad. And they took from their teachers. And wallahi, I said to Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna, rahimahullah, just before he died. He was on his deathbed. I said, and we were talking. Sheikh asked, it was a few months just before he passed away. And I said, "Ya Sheikh, wallahi, there's an individual in Yemen, Hajuri, speaking about Sheikh Ubayd." And he said his knowledge did not develop. He said, "Ilmuhu ghair nadij." Ghair nadij, still hasn't developed. He said, and الَّذِي يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي شَيْخُ عُبَيْد لَا يُفْلِح. The one who speaks about Sheikh Ubayd in this manner, في هذا يعني على هذه الطريقة, لا يفلح. He will not succeed. And you can see the reality of that. You can see the reality of that. They will not succeed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid. إِنَّا لَنَنصُرُ رُسُلُنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. We will give victory to our prophets and the believers. And Allah Azza wa Jal, in Hadith Qudsi, said, "Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantu bil harb." Whoever harms a friend of mine, and that's not really a good translation, you read that in many books. Whoever harms al-wali from the awliya of Allah, then I'm at war with him. A wali. A guardian that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on this dunya to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, to have sincerity and to practice that which he says. "Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantu bil harb." And the rest of the hadith explains who the awliya of Allah, they fulfill the fara'id and they perform the nawafil. "وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ
ويده التي ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها، وإذا سألني لأعطينه وإذا استعاذني لأعيدنه. This is the quality of أهل العلم. They are upon فرائد and نوافل. They fulfill the obligations and the نوافل. These are the أولياء of Allah. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No fear for them, nor any distress for them. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah continues, says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ عِلْمَ أَحْكَامِ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ نَصًّا وَاسْتِدْلَالًا وَوَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ لِلْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمَا عَلِمَ مِنْهُ فَازَ بِالْفَضِيلَةِ فِي دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَاهِ. This is the one who is successful in his deen and dunya. The one who, when he learns the ahkam of Allah, the rules and regulations that Allah has placed in his book and in the sunnah, and he, with istidlal, with the proofs, he knows how to give proof from each. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens him with speech and action in that which he has come to know. He becomes successful in his deen and dunya. وَانْتَفَتْ عَنِ الرِّيبِ وَنَوَّرَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ الْحِكْمَةِ. Come from those who are wise in their speech. وَسْتُوجِبَ فِي الدِّينِ مَوْضِعِ الْإِمَامَةِ. And he ends up being an imam in his level, in the deen, becomes being an imam. And Allah mentioned that, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And we have made them as imams. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, guiding others to our command when they were patient and certain. And we've seen this with Ahl al-Ilm. The likes of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimullah, Rasikh in Unayza, and his teaching, and been serious in his teaching, serious in his conveying the deen of Allah. And we went and asked him, Ya Shaykh, in England we have takfiris, and they say that the fourth category of tawheed is hakamiyya. Shaykh said, Hada batil. This is batil. There are three categories of tawheed derived from the Quran, and Allah mentioned it in one verse. All three in one verse. Surah Maryam, verse 65. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما, your Lord of the heavens and the earth and that which is between them. فاعبده واصطبر لعبادته, so worship him and be patient upon his worship. هل تعلم له سميا, do you know any similitude unto him? Three categories of tawheed. So he said, refute them with this verse, refute them with this. And that, then he went on to mention that whoever says to his brother, O kafir, it falls on one of the two. Then he quoted the hadith, من قال لأخيه يا كافر فقد باء به أحدهما. Whoever says to his brother, O disbeliever, and then it falls on one of the two. It falls on one of the two. It may fall back on you because you call him a disbeliever and he's not a disbeliever. So all of those, whether they're Hizb al-Tahrir or Muhajirun or Takfiris in general, who go around making blanket takfir statements like ISIS and Qaeda, who make takfir blanketly of all of the rulers and their armies, in the hundreds of thousands, takfir after takfir, then all of those hundreds of thousands that you've made takfir unjustly, it will fall on you. فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهِ أَحَدُهُمَا. It's not like that one falls on you. What about hundreds of thousands that you're making takfir of? All of them fall on you, on your neck on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that you've made takfir of them. These hasty people, hasty in what they call to and what they bring. So if there's anything that I really can leave with you today, is really just strive, keep striving, be sincere in your talab al-ilm, keep striving, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in that path, and seek knowledge for action, seek knowledge for practice, and move on. The life is short, and you know that, and you've seen that with the death of those around you, the likes of our brother Abu Umar Farooq, Allah arhamu. When we see, when he was in Medina, Naam, at that time I was in Jeddah, he was in Medina, and studying with our brothers, and studying along with the brothers, sitting at the feet of the scholars, and he was ardent in knowledge, striving, and from that day until today, subhanAllah, he's always loved Ahl al-Ilm, loved Ahl al-Sunnah, hated the bid'ah, hated the people of innovation, wanting khair to spread, Naam, strove in order to establish Masjid bin Baz, the first masjid in East, Salafi masjid in East London. We went through many obstacles, Ya Ikhwan. Obstacles with those who
Na'am, we're speaking against our ulama in East London. We used to clean before Masjid Tawheed became Masjid Tawheed. Before we were in Francis Road. And that, when Masjid Tawheed started to open, they needed helpers to clean the floors, to clean the floors and to basically get the masjid ready. And we thought, mashallah, because Imam Subayil, the Imam, is coming to open the masjid, we thought, alhamdulillah, this is khair, this is good. And then, back in the days, we helped out, tried to help out where we could, in order to get the masjid ready before Imam Subayil, rahimahullah, was going to come. But they deceived the scholars. They deceived Imam Subayil, rahimahullah, and the scholars. For after that, they started criticizing the ulama, those who set up Masjid Tawheed, like Suhaib Hassan and Usama Hassan, who said, we come from monkeys. Suhaib Hassan and Abu Aliya, whom Sheikh Muqbir, rahimahullah, called Abu Hawiya, he strayed and now became Sufi. The other one said the Darwin theory. The other one, his father, made excuse for him and said, this is matter of ijtihad. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallama. Enough foolishness and enough ignorance. Knowledge will always prevail, and the deen of Allah will always continue to be uppermost. And alhamdulillah, the greatest weapon you and me have is the weapon of hujjah. Allah said, the Messenger said, and the companions conveyed. This is the greatest weapon we have. We don't harm Muslims with our hands. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. Nor do we harm Muslims with our tongues. But we clarify the truth. We say falsehood is falsehood, whoever it comes from. And truth will always prevail. Qul ja'a al-haq wa zahaqa al-batil, innal batila kana zahuqa. So there was times of difficulty that the brothers now, mashallah, tabarakallah, can only imagine how difficult it was those days with few. And we used to get mocked at in the way we dressed, in the way we looked, in raising our ankles, trousers above the ankles, and wearing turbans or wearing head covering and growing our beards. Back in the days, few followers, not like many followers, not like now. Back in the days with few, but we were with Ahlul Ilm. Until today, walillahi alhamd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guide. So don't forget those who came and made it easy for those who came afterwards. For the ones who were the likes of the Muhajirun, who strove and were persecuted, of course more than us, we didn't get any of that. They strove and they were persecuted, but Allah placed them, mentioned them before the Ansar. And He said, radiyallahu, He said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. He mentioned the Muhajirun before the Ansar. And even in the battlefield, on the expeditions, they will be placed at the front. Not at the back. They will be placed at the front for the fadl that they had. And nobody seeks that. You ask any of the brothers who have been there in the 90s or in the late 80s. None of them seek that. But know that there has been a history. A history. Since when Abu Talha, rahimahullah, he came back to this country and he was translating the speech of Ahlul Ilm. And we were benefiting from that, rahimahullah. In 1988 and 1989, in the early days of the da'wah, when it's still sprouting out, if you like, it's still coming out. And the links with Ahlul Ilm. Until today, the brothers, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them, Abu Khadija and Abu Hakim, and Abu Idris, and our brother Awais at Tawil, and other than them, they're going back and forth, keeping links with Ahlul Ilm, not rushing, not. And Abu Umar, Farooq, not rushing, preceding Ahlul Ilm. And there's certain things they don't speak about because it's difficult. It's not for me and you to put on our shoulders and to be responsible for on Yawm Al Qiyamah. So we're careful. We have discussions, and it's not a one man show. All of us doing ta'awun, shura, and seeking the advice of Ahlul Ilm. Alhamdulillah. It was beautiful to see our brother Abu Umar this last Umrah in April or in April time when he came with the brothers and they helped him, and he was able to see the ulama before he passed away. And that was his dream. Because of his illness, he was not able to travel and do dialysis, because until he can find out for sure that they have proper dialysis over there.
And when that was found out, alhamdulillah, he didn't leave any time to travel. And he traveled. And when he saw Shaykh Ubayd, he cried. He cried for those who spoken ill of him and tried to defame him. Alhamdulillah, Allah raised him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended him. And he got his honor, walillahi alhamd, before he passed away. And he was happy doing Umrah before he passed away. Fasting the month of Ramadan. Or at least paying the fidya for those who are deserving of it because of sickness. And that is, inshallah, he get reward of Ramadan. Because if he had been able to fast, he would have fasted. And he get the reward of the fasting person, inshallah. And this is our deen. That even the traveler and the sick one, he's still rewarded. If he had done something beforehand, continue to do something, he will still get rewarded. And he had done all that. Walillahi alhamd. So we ask Allah that he died upon Tawheed and Sunnah. He died. And that was what is apparent from us. And we hope, we pray, and we hope that he's from the martyrs and from those who Allah has raised many levels in paradise. Many levels in paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him and to protect his family and his children. And that he guides them, continues to guide them, na'am, until they also meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take these as signs for each and every one of us. Because we're all going there one day. Take these as lessons. Our brothers, one by one, and our ulama before them, one by one, will be leaving us. But the da'wah will continue. Whoever worship Allah, Allah lives and doesn't die. And whoever worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he has died. Then he died. And this is the statement of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So likewise, we continue. لا تزال طائفة من أمة على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. They will not cease to be a group upholding the truth, clearly upon the truth, not being harmed by those who abandon them, nor by those who deceive them, until the command of Allah comes, and they are upon that. We ask Allah to protect us and forgive us. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. And wallahi, there were many statements of the Salaf that we wanted to read regarding ilm and amal. Lakin inshallah fima ba'd. Is seeking knowledge obedience, as it feels like a habit? Please advise. Seeking knowledge is ibadah. It's the path to seeking paradise, the path of treading paradise, towards paradise. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. A habit. What do you mean by a habit? Like just a pastime that you do, or what do you mean by a habit? If it's something that you do on a regular basis, which is good, alhamdulillah. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Actions according to one's intention. So what is your intention in seeking knowledge? Is it for amal? Then you check yourself. The more you know, then it should be followed up by practice. The more you know, the more you should feel humble. The more you know, the more you should be kind. The more you should be gentle. The more you should be pondering over yourself. Pondering. From the, as Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah mentioned about the characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would ponder a lot. He would, and imagine the whole, all the affairs on his shoulders, yani, as the last of the messengers, the affairs, of course, the affair belongs to Allah and the command belongs to Allah. I mean, as a responsibility, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a lot of responsibility, but he would still smile, and he would say, "Smiling in your brother's face is charity." All of that on his shoulders, but yet the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still welcoming, was still kind, was the best of those who are kind. Was jawad, was gentle, and was welcoming. And he would say, "Ma kana rifqu fi shay' illa zana." Whenever gentleness is mixed with something, it beautifies it. "Wa ma yunza'u rifqu min shay' illa shana." And whenever gentleness is removed from an affair, it disfigures it. So, strive for knowledge, but for action. Check the intention, in order to defend the deen of Allah as well. for the people of Shar are many. The people are confused. The people are unaware of the reality. So there are many people like that. You need to help them. Tell them, explain to them Tawheed. Explain to them the Sunnah. Explain to them the importance of Salah. From your family and your friends. It shouldn't be that you are, as one of the scholars mentioned, you are just like unknown in your house, your own house. And you are, there's no benefit bringing, no fruits. Your own house should be changed. You do your best. You do your best to make change in your houses. If your parents are not upon the path, then you advise them beautifully, with gentleness, with kindness, and you help them to get to Jannah. So it's a struggle, but you know yourself. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ. Man upon himself, he knows himself. عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرَةٌ. Even if he were to make excuses, everyone knows himself. A lot of people are mutasahil when it comes to pictures. Please advise us, even if others' opinion, especially sisters on social media. Wallahi, this is a big problem. This tasahul with pictures. Picture taking. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, if you have to, then draw a landscape. Draw the landscape if you really have to. But wallahi, I can't understand. When I read a hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ, that the most severest in punishment on the Day of Judgment are the picture makers. I can't understand when someone reads this hadith and doesn't change. I can't understand why someone doesn't, when he reads this hadith or hears this hadith and he's not moved. The severest in punishment are the picture makers. And we all know the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was sent to a people, and that people, when the righteous, five righteous, Waddan wa Suwa'an wa Yaghutha wa Ya'uqa wa Nasra, when they passed away, they made images of them and they ended up calling upon them. They left knowledge and they ended up calling upon them besides Allah. It all started with images. So you may think that it's, oh, this is not important. This is important because it led them to shirk. It led them to shirk. One time I remember I was in Masjid Qiblatain, and Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi was given a dars, and somebody came in order to take video of the dars of the Sheikh. Allah, Sheikh was severe. He mentioned these narrations. He said to him, listen, you are in the bait of Allah and you're taking these pictures or this camera. So desist, stop this. That even in the bait of Allah, and you see that people going to the masajid taking selfies, why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting your time? Facebook, you have to have a page, you have to have this. If it's for business and that's no problem. Business is halal. But pictures on your business, pictures for every, I'm at the gym, I'm having ice cream, what is this? You're wasting time. We're wasting time. How is that going to get you close to Allah? Rather, this is tasahul. Tasahul with regards that which Allah's Messenger came with. And that is the worst and severest in punishment they've done. I can't guarantee for myself, Yawm al-Qiyamah, that you will not be punished. That I will not be punished. That scares me. It scares me. Yawm al-Qiyamah, you come and you took pictures in this fashion, in this tasahul way, in this tasahul manner. Wallahi, and that's the tarbiyah of the ulama. That's the tarbiyah that I've seen with Ahlul Ilm. And there are some scholars that mention the benefit of, if it's for education, like Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, then that's for education, for teaching. But how is a selfie going to benefit you? How is that? Wallahi. Or if your member of your family says, please take the picture of us. No, I won't. Stand firm. And stand upon the sunnah. اعتصم بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرق. Stick to the habl of Allah, the Quran and Sunnah. Stick to that habl. And don't disunite or split into groups. Stick to that habl of Allah. Be upon istiqama. Allah commanded the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, فاستقم كما أمرت. So be firm as you have been commanded. Be firm upon this blessed path. Don't worship Allah upon an edge, upon the edge of a cliff about to fall. Don't worship Allah like that. Worship Allah and try to be safe in your ibadah. Try to be safe away from disobedience and sins. Try to be safe. We have to. We're not guaranteed anything. We're not guaranteed anything. So this tasahul, I'm shocked. And even sisters on social media. And also the tasahul between brothers and sisters. With regards, she wants to get married or he wants to get married, and all of a sudden there's contact with speech that's not befitting. One sister, she wrote a question. She said, this individual is writing to me, and because we had contact, you know, on social media, he threatened me and said, if you don't marry me, because her parents don't want her to get married to him, so if you don't marry me, I'm going to commit suicide. So why is that? Until this level, threatening you, if you want to commit suicide, Allah yahdik, why should I put myself in this fitna? I'm not saying do it, Allah yahdik, may Allah guide you to this level. I said, no, don't marry him. If he's threatening you like this, keep away from him. No, you want to get married? Go through the proper channels. وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. Enter the houses by their doors. Don't go around the corner. You want to get married? Go to the wali, يا أخي. مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَا مَنْ أَتَاكُمْ. You have to go to him. مَنْ أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَا دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. Whoever comes to you as a guardian through WhatsApp, and this is not coming to me through guardian. We all have children, يا إخوان. We have daughters. We have sisters. You come through the proper channels. And we ask Allah to forgive us our shortcomings. Because really, in reality, this is not a problem only here. It's a problem in other places. In other countries. And it seems to be widespread. And wallahi, Ikhwan, this is dangerous. This phone, this WhatsApp and all this, dangerous. Be careful. Allah is watching you. First and foremost, before anyone, Allah is watching you. Fear Allah regarding your phone. Fear Allah regarding how you use your phone. Fear Allah regarding the women of others. Fear Allah. Because this reality is a disease. And if you've made a mistake, ask Allah to forgive you and don't return to that error. If you've made a mistake, look at this. There are people out there manipulating others. So be careful. Be careful, O sisters, of those who try to manipulate you as well on social media. If you have a question, ask a question. Don't go too much into personal things and this. Just ask a question and desist. And it's better to ask a sister says, or a sister has a problem, and she says, rather than ask about yourself. Out of good manners, a sister says. Some say the mashaykh are influenced by those around them, so they only look at one side. Is this correct? The mashaykh are influenced by those around them, so they only look at one side. Is this correct? SubhanAllah. These mashaykh, before they speak about affair, the husnul dhan that we have for them, and we should have for them, is that they, before they speak about an affair, that they know it's a fair. حكم على شيء فرع عن تصوره. Before you give a ruling about a matter, then it is based upon understanding it. Doesn't mean you have to see it. Understanding the matter. So when the truth comes to them regarding a matter in its entirety, then alhamdulillah, they give the ruling regarding that. And we should have good opinion about them in this regard. And if it's a particular fatwa or particular, then it's not good manners to say this about those scholars. It's not good, they have been influenced. It's not good manners. If it is a particular fatwa that you agree with or you don't agree with, then have good opinion at least regarding and be patient. And be patient. The truth always comes out in the end. So they could be mistaken in a fatwa. It could be true. But have good opinion about our scholars. And don't say this. And usually we found the Hizbiyun, they're the ones who say this statement. The Hizbiyun, they're the ones who say this statement. Oh, they're influenced regarding those around them. This is not good manners. We do not say that about our scholars. We respect them, we honor them. Na'am, because almost belittling them, that they don't know how to think or they don't know how to analyze the affair before it happens. or they're easily influenced. This is not good manners. Rather, we desist from this kind of speech. And if it's an affair, a difference of opinion among scholars regarding the situation, then in this matter, why are you getting involved? Why don't we just wait? Wait and look at the affairs, look at the details, look at the knowledge if we're able. If we're not able, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. It's not in, it's for you then. Be patient. Not everything you have to enter. من حسن إسلام المرء ترك ما لا يعنيه. From the good Islam of a person, he doesn't enter that which doesn't concern him. So there are some matters which are above us, and some matters between Ahl al-Ilm. We leave it for them. Why you have to open up a can of worms? Open up something that's going to cause more harm than good for you, because you haven't reached that level of understanding in how to understand that affair. So there are many affairs that come, and we don't want to enter them. Why? Because if it's a difference between Ahl al-Ilm, then one side is they start saying, from those who are extreme, they start, oh, they're influenced by those who are with them. Then the other side, they say, oh, this is not good. This is not good. All of them are ulama. All of them are ulama. But what is upon us? To follow the haqq. Whichever of the scholar brings the truth regarding a matter, where there is difference of opinion in a matter of ijtihad, then we follow the correct position to the best of our ability. If we're not able, then don't enter it in the first place. Wallahu a'lam. And don't reject the truth when it comes to you. The truth comes to us, don't say to me, لا يلزمني. Doesn't concern me. لا يلزمني. I don't have to follow it. This is again another extreme of those who use Assalamu alaikum says how to deal with something of poverty. What's that? Fear of poverty. The messenger asked him, would seek refuge from poverty. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqr. You seek refuge from poverty. But don't fear poverty. Your iman in qadr should be strong. And those who fear poverty or those who fear loss of wealth, their iman in qadr is weak. Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu bi qadr. Everything we created upon a pre-decree. And we believe in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, and he's the sustainer, and he's the planner of all affairs. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. It's already written for you, Abdullah. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. What you've been promised is coming, and your risk, your provision has already been provided for you, Ya Abdullah. You will not leave this life until you take the last dirham or the last penny that you are promised, and the last morsel of food that you will consume. Everything is written, and everything is already. And the hadith of Umar رضي الله عنه, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير يغدو خماصا ويروح بطانا. If you were truly to rely upon Allah, a true reliance, then you will, you'll be like the bird that goes out hungry in the morning and comes back full. Hungry in the morning, and it comes back full. Be like that bird. Don't fear poverty. Be like the bird. Goes out empty stomach, comes back full stomach. Alhamdulillah. No fear of poverty, inshallah. No. Love the people who are poor, yes. And make istighfar much. And Allah will increase you in wealth, increase you in children. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْبَارًا. So make much istighfar, inshallah. Allah will never leave you without any provision. Make this the last one, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show you good and be good to you. Ameen to all of us. What are the conditions for a divorce to not count due to anger? Sheikh Obaid Habibullah says, I've been dealing with divorce for over 25 years. And he said, sometimes very difficult to know who's right. You have to be in between them. And it's so true, Allah. Remember that statement anyway. There's another statement the Sheikh mentioned. I won't mention it here. But anyway, the Sheikh said, in a nutshell, yeah, and it's very difficult to know who's right until they end up being in front of the Qadi. So time and time we hear scholars, they've been asked about divorce. Yeah, Sheikh, is it divorce? Is it not divorce? One time I hear Sheikh Ali Nasir Faqih said, what, عندي أنا الجواب عندي? Like with me, I got the answer? Go to the Qadi, because he has to listen to both sides. And he has to listen to the situation. And Sheikh Ubaid likewise says, Allah, because they started calling me, because now, oh, he's the Sheikh's neighbor, so let's call him to get to the Sheikh. So they call and start mentioning about divorce. It's the worst question you get, is the one divorce, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially, it's not for us. It's not for us. And usually it's long. It's long, never-ending stories. One of those ones that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah protect us. And there's a lot of ignorance as well, and a lot of wrong from both sides usually, in many cases. So anyway, you find Shaykh Ubay says, la, 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 atrukhum, atrukhum. La'abin, la'abin. They're playing games. Yeah, many times. Why? Because they ask about divorce. Yeah, Shaykh, I sent a divorce by text message. Does it count? Oh, Shaykh, I asked so many questions. Divorce is divorce, Shaykh Ubay said. He said divorce, at-talaq, is talaq that is pronounced. And that which is similar to it. If it is text message and it is divorced and there is no shubha regarding it, then it is talaq. And even if the person is angry, then which person that says talaq is not angry? Of course, person is angry. Nah, divorce, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It can't be unclear. Shaykh Ubayd said it can't be unclear. You can't say, I'm going to divorce you. Then ask, is this divorce? No, it's not divorce. Divorce is talaq. Khalas. Talaq to ki. I divorced you. That's divorce. I divorced you. And then people ask around that many. Has to be clear, clear cut, with no shubha around it. And then there's the issue is, which is quite detailed, and there's difference of opinion regarding it. Does it occur if the woman is on her menses and he says divorce to her? Nah, and what seems to be an Allahu A'lam on this matter, that a divorce is to be pronounced when the woman is tahir, yani she is not upon in her menses. And as for the talaq al-bid'i, which there is difference of opinion, does it occur or does it not occur, the woman in her menses, if divorce is pronounced while she is in her menses, Allahu A'lam, it seems to be the strongest position, is it does not occur. No, unless he pronounces it while she is pure, and Allah knows best. That's a big difference of opinion amongst the scholars, and the narrations for that are many. So the matter is detailed, and khul' as well, the matter is detailed. And no woman asked for khul', asked to be separated from her husband without a valid excuse. If she does that, then she will not smell the fragrance of paradise. So the matter is serious. And unfortunately, in these days, see, back in the days, and even if you look at your parents and their parents, they had more patience with each other. Nowadays, we have a lot of hastiness in society. I was shocked one time. I was asked, my brothers, he just got married. He said, but I don't feel love between me and my wife. You just got married, Yahi. Did you give her gifts? Give her gifts. Tahadu, tahabu. Give gifts. Don't be dry. It's your wife. Don't be dry and so miserable and so long-faced. Joke, smile. It's your spouse. So, and take the family out once a week. Children out once a week. How, mashallah, good with your friends, but when you come to your wife, you're dry, you're just... Nah, it's true. Wallahi, some brothers, Allah Adim, just dry, leaving the wife yani, without any companionship, without any... The wife has feelings, and of course, we're not perfect. And woman is not like the man. وليس الذكر كالأنثى. You know that the woman is not like the man. The man, he just doesn't want to, you know, get on with any arguments, any difficulties. Any, just admit it, akhi. Admit it. Say I made a mistake. خلاص. Otherwise, you will not sleep that night, or nor will you rest for 2 or 3 days. So sometimes just have to be honest. Just not sometimes, but be honest. Try to keep the mawadda and rahma between you. وجعلنا بينكم مودة ورحمة. As Allah said, we have made between you love and mercy. These are important matters. Wallahi, how is it you just got married, you don't love your wife? So be careful how you, when you choose your spouse, be careful. And so be also merciful to yourself. And be patient as well. Wallahi, be patient. Be patient. Be patient. If you try to correct that rib. If you try to correct it too hard, it will break. It will break. Women need ice cream, need some, you know, nice softening, nice words, nice, you know. If you try and do it with harshness, it won't work. It won't work. You'll end up in divorce. May Allah protect us. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala khayri khalqi Muhammad.